Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into Maggie Haberman's Confidence Man, the definitive Trump biography that's more about New York grift than it is about politics. Sophie, I have to ask, did this book change how you see the whole Trump era, or just confirm what you already suspected?
It definitely deepened my understanding. Haberman has this incredible access. She covered Trump in New York long before he ran for president. So she's not just writing about the White House years, she's tracing the playbook he developed back in the 80s and 90s. And honestly, that's the key to everything.
Right, because the book opens with his father, Fred Trump. And I think a lot of people don't realize how much of Donald's worldview came straight from Fred. Except Fred was this hard-nosed, low-key developer who avoided the press. Donald wanted the spotlight. He took the mechanics of power from his dad, but added this insane hunger for attention.
Exactly. Haberman shows that from the very beginning, Trump understood that in New York, perception was more valuable than reality. A building didn't just need to be built, it needed to be announced with fanfare, the name in gold. He was a master of leverage, using other people's money and promising more than he could deliver.
And the press was his prop. That part fascinated me. He would call reporters with fake names to brag about his own deals. He fed stories to the gossip pages. He didn't care if they called him a liar or a buffoon, as long as they spelled his name right. That's the core insight, isn't it?
Totally. The title Confidence Man works on two levels, the grifter who tricks people and the guy who projects this unshakable belief in his own myth. Haberman argues that his refusal to ever admit a loss, spinning bankruptcies as strategic moves, turning divorces into tabloid wars, became the core of his political appeal.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. When his casinos in Atlantic City failed, he didn't say, "I messed up." He said, "This is a brilliant financial restructuring." And people bought it. Or, at least, they bought into the persona. That's the confidence game.
And Haberman's reporting on the Trump Organization really drives that home. She describes this culture of total loyalty to the boss, where information is tightly compartmentalized and the truth is whatever Trump says it is at any given moment. It's run more like a crime family than a corporation.
With the revolving door of lawyers and fixers who get used up and discarded, and his kids, Donald Jr., Eric, Ivanka, they were raised in this environment where dad's approval is the only currency. Winning is the only moral imperative. That creates this deep paranoia, this us against the world mentality that later defined the West Wing.
Right, and then when he enters politics, he doesn't adapt to the rules of the game. He brings his own game. Haberman's account of the 2016 campaign is chaos theory in action, no traditional ground game, total reliance on free media, this instinct for the jugular. He understood that Republican primary voters wanted someone who would break norms.
His rallies weren't policy speeches. They were performances. He'd riff for an hour, test out lines, read the crowd, adjust in real time. It's the same improvisational style he used in the boardroom, but now the product is a movement. The part that got me was how he treated the presidency like the ultimate reality show.
And Haberman had extraordinary access as a White House correspondent. She describes an administration perpetually on the brink of collapse, where the normal rhythms of governance are replaced by Trump's TV viewing habits. The West Wing was a battlefield of competing factions, and he was the engine of the chaos, pitting people against each other.
His staff's job wasn't to inform him, it was to manage him, to keep him from self-destructing and to translate his late-night tweets into policy. That's wild. But the book also gets into his relationship with the law, which is basically rules don't apply to me.
Yeah, he views the legal system as just another negotiation, a game to be played, delayed, and beaten. Haberman traces this back to the housing discrimination lawsuits against Fred Trump's company. He has never accepted the idea that rules apply to him. And that belief system was put to the test during Mueller and the first impeachment.
He was obsessed with the investigation, saw it as a personal betrayal by the deep state, and honestly believed he could just make it go away with his powers of persuasion. that fundamental inability to accept external authority. That's the key to understanding his behavior in office and after.
The book also has this devastating portrait of the Republican Party's capitulation. Haberman shows how the old guard fell in line not because they believed in his policies, but because they feared his base. It was a willing submission, a Faustian bargain.
In the final chapter, the aftermath of the 2020 election and January 6th is presented not as an aberration, but as the logical endpoint of a life spent believing losing is unacceptable and truth is whatever you can get away with. It's chilling.
What I appreciate is that Haberman resists psychoanalyzing from a distance. She lets the reporting do the work. We see a man who is deeply insecure, who craves his father's approval, who is pathologically incapable of empathy, but also a master of the media age who understood that attention is the only real currency.
So for me, the one takeaway is this: Trump's power comes not from ideology or policy, but from his ability to dominate the narrative, to control the conversation, to make everyone else play by his rules. That's the confidence game.
And if you want to go deeper, the whole library's over at 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
It's a dense book, but an essential one. Haberman doesn't offer easy answers. She just lays out the facts and lets you draw your own conclusions.
And the conclusion is unsettling. We created a system that worships wealth, fame, and winning at all costs, and Trump is a perfect reflection of that. We'll see you in the next one.